Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares asks if we're being unjust.
Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust to overlook your work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints. Do you know what that means? If he didn't respond, then it would be unjust. If it is unjust for God to overlook the service that people give in loving God and loving God by loving the church, certainly unjust for us. You being ministered to by people, you got to be thankful and you ought to express it.
Welcome to Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares. Right now, we're taking some time to stop and think about those around us, in church and around our community, who give sacrificially to make life a bit sweeter for the rest of us. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints." Well, certainly God notices their sacrifice. Do we? We're learning to encourage the encouragers as we turn to Romans 16.
We've entitled this, Encouraging the Encouragers. What we need to do is to look at this list of people here in Romans 16, and we need to begin to identify and craft our own list. Who are the people in our sphere of activity in the church? Who are the people in my Christian life that fit the criteria and the descriptives in this text? And then once you identify them, there's one more thing. We have to respond the way Paul asked the Romans to respond to this list. We need to respond to our list the way he asked them to respond to their list. And if we can do that, as simple as this sermon is, we can leave this auditorium with a strengthened church. Those that give encouragement can be encouraged, and the church can be healthy. And again, this does no good unless you're thinking of real-life living people in your life right now that are either, yeah, they're serving, I see that, they're busy about the work. Man, they have courage in their Christian life. They're an inspiration to me just by the way they live their Christian life. Sacrifice, look at what they've had to give up to live for Christ and to serve the body of Christ. Or they're just super kind, and the way they give of themselves in the church, there's just something about the love, kindness, gentleness they give in ministry. Six ways in this text that we're called to respond to them and encourage them. Ready? Six things in our text that we see, beginning in verse number one, things that you and I must do to encourage the encouragers. Look at verse one. It says this, second word in our English text, I commend to you, our sister Phoebe, a servant of the Church of Cenchrea. Commend, that's a word we don't use very often. Let's call it this, just to kind of round it out, endorsement. That's what commendation is. I'm endorsing this person to a third party. I am now trying to tell you Phoebe's great, and what she does, worthy of note. That is an endorsement. A commendation is public approval of someone else. That's so important in the church, so critical. I mean, every kind of ministry is really a bit of a risky ministry in terms of reputation. Man, if they're doing well, you need to speak well of them, even when they're not in the conversation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to show you that there's a connection in the Bible between this kind of endorsement and our topic through chapters 15 and 16 of Romans, and that is, it is all about encouragement. Parakaleo. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where I'd like you to look, just real briefly, but think this through. Parakaleo, that's the word we've analyzed throughout the series. It's like a knee brace for a wobbly knee. It comes in alongside of, that's the compound, parakaleo, called in alongside of, kaleo, called in, para, next to. The knee brace holds it in place. That's the bolstering, the holding up of the person. We illustrated it also with the tree on the bluff with the hostile winds, and there's that stakes in the ground, and the guy wires hold it up. That picture of support, that's the word encouragement. And look at verse number in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse number 11. He calls them to encourage one another, parakaleo one another. And another good synonym, build one another up, strengthen, fortify one another. Brothers, he says, we ask you to respect those who labor among you. Right? If they're laboring among you, the Bible says you need to encourage them. And the thing here in this text tells us how. That endorsement. It's like make them known. Make them publicly endorse these folks. It's a lot like the word commend. Make sure that you show that you respect them. Make sure that you have that sense that they are, they're worthy people. They're people that should be elevated. I mean, that may sound like over the top, but you need to, if you want to talk about elevation, look at verse 13. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Could be something as simple as one of your kids' youth workers or your children's Sunday school teacher. Hold them up, put them up, speak well of them, endorse them. Now, that may seem a little bit hard to define. How do I do that? Well, I've tried to define it as simply as I can. Speak well behind their back. This one's even harder to define in verse number 2. This is Romans 16:2. It says, Phoebe should not only be commended. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, but be sure that you welcome her in the Lord. There's the key word. Underline that, welcome. Now again, what does that mean? That could be as simple as, okay, welcome. Phoebe shows up, hey, welcome. Every time I see Phoebe, I'll be sure and say welcome. No, it's more than that. This is not a physical welcome. It's not even just the word welcome. It's not putting out a welcome mat, making sure you let her into your front room of your house. It's more than that. It has that sense of what's going on in your heart. As a matter of fact, this is worth looking at as a cross-reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's a very short reference, verses 11 and 12. But it may be worth looking at because Paul uses some phrases here that really have to do with what I'm talking about here, the disposition. And once you turn there, you can jot this down. What we're talking about is acceptance, a kind of dispositional acceptance. I want to encourage people that serve. I want to encourage people that encourage me. I want to encourage people that encourage the church by making sure my heart is welcoming of them. It's kind of like commending them, but it's not something I do in speaking well of them behind their back. It's not just about their reputation as I speak to others. This is something I do when I'm face-to-face with them. I'm open toward them. I'm receiving toward them. As a matter of fact, this is akin to the word that's repeated more than any other word in Romans 16. And that's the word greet. Greet this person, greet that person. The word greet, you could translate it this way, embrace. And we're not talking about a physical embrace. We're talking about this kind of mental, you know, emotional, dispositional embrace. Make sure that your heart toward them is open. I use that phrase because I got it here. This is what Paul's looking for in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says this. Verse 11, we have spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. There's the picture. We're welcoming about you, but you, he says, verse 12, you're not restricted by us, right? We're wide open, but you are restricted in your affections. And he's not just talking physical, right? We're not talking about you don't hug us or, you know, you don't shake our hands. This is about something in their hearts. We're not far from it. We ought to look at this. 1 Corinthians 16. Turn back just a few chapters. Look at verse 10. When Timothy comes, here's another way to put it, see that you put him at ease among you. Is that a better way to say it? Are the people that serve in your church, people that somehow encourage your life or the lives of your kids, do you put them at ease when you're with them? Do you have that sense which that you're accepting toward them just for the sake of the work that they're doing? That's what he says. Put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. And it's more than just what you do there, but it's what you let other people do. Look at verse 11. Let no one despise him. Are you protective of them too? That's big. That's a third person imperative. I want to make sure that you're open to them and that you're not closed and skeptical and crossed arms and despising. You need to be open to them, right? That's important. Encourage them with your endorsement. That one's pretty easy. Talk well behind their back. Encourage them with your acceptance. That's kind of a disposition when you're with them and even when you're listening to other people speak of them. Bottom of verse 2, back to Romans 16. Look at verse 2. Not only do you welcome her in the Lord the way worthy of the saints, that should be wide open, but you should help her in whatever she may need from you. Oh, that's a good one. That's practical. If those other ones were a little bit hard to define, this one's easy. Let's jot it down this way. Let her see. You need to encourage them with your generosity. Encourage them with your generosity. Be generous toward them. You need to, like the patron Phoebe did, she was good to other people, and the patron usually means there's some kind of cost involved. Then when she has a need, you better meet her need. Here's a text to jot down that may help. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Proverbs 11, 25. It says, whoever brings a blessing will be enriched. Don't sit on the sidelines in that text and think, well, okay, God, let's see how you're going to do that. Those who bring a blessing will be enriched. Well, of course, if they're a blessing to other people, well, then God will enrich them. Yeah, but how does God do it? It says, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Right? I mean, the Hebrew idiom there is the one who waters others. Man, he'll be watered. He'll be refreshed. Now, that's the question. Who's going to do that? See, the people that bless your kids, your teenagers, your life, see, you need to be a blessing to them. And in this text, look at the way he says it here in Romans 16:2, whatever she may need from you. I mean, do as much as you can. Now, once we've identified people, and look at our list again, they serve, they have courage, they make sacrifices, and they show kindness. And I would invite you to be generous, whatever their needs may be. Fourth, look at verse 4. Still talking here about Prisca and Aquila. Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers, they risked their life for my next. Now, what does Paul do in response to that? And he says other people are doing it too. To whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Okay, this one's easy. Letter D, thanksgiving. Encourage them with your thanksgiving. Oh, this is so fundamental. And actually, when it comes to encouragement, I mean, you go pick up your kids, you know, most of those workers really, what they would really thrive on, what would really feed them, is just some real sincere thanksgiving. Just to be thankful. And to really express your thanks to them. That would be great. That would be nourishing for them. That would be encouraging. And I find that Christians who've been in the church for a while, they miss what new Christians see when they become Christians and come to the church. You know, they're always asking me, if someone leads someone to Christ or someone introduces me to a brand new Christian, we show them to the kids room, they're always wondering, well, what does this cost? How much does this cost? Because to them, it's like, wow. To them, they're thinking it's childcare, and they pay for childcare, and they're thinking this has got to cost something. And we say, no, these are volunteers. They just want to serve. They love serving. And it's not about childcare. These are about teaching and nourishing your kids and laying a foundation in their life, and they're blown away. And so what they do, knowing that they're not paying somebody at the door, is a heap on praise for the first 6-7 times. Then what happens is they become a lot like the rest of us. Don't even think about it. Oh, we say thanks because it's the platitude we throw out at the end of, hey, thanks. But just what would it do for our kids men workers just to have you stare them in the eye and really express, like Paul says, to them, he says, to whom I not only I give thanks, but everybody gives thanks. Be great. That would go a long way. Now, this text, in our English text, the ESV, it says to whom there in the bottom of verse 4, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. If you read in some other translations, you might find this, for whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches. For whom? What's the deal? We got bad Greek students translating the New Testament? Well, here's the thing. It could go either way. This is not really clear. Matter of fact, the way this is worded, it could be for them or to them. And you look outside this text, guess what? It's both. It's both. We see it everywhere in both directions. I not only want you to, as this is translated, to thank them to whom you give thanks, but it'd be good for you to turn this around as we see elsewhere in Scripture for whom you give thanks. Think about the Colossians. I thank God for you day and night. We need to thank God for them, which, by the way, might be the inverted order that we would prefer, because I don't think you can ever really give sincere thanks to people. You can't condition your heart to do that until you're busy giving thanks for those people, right? So let's start there. I mean, I want you to thank them today, but if you spend every day thanking God for the people who minister and encourage you and your family in the ministry here, I think you'd be much more apt to look them in the eye and give that kind of real, honest, sincere thanksgiving when you see them. Be thankful. Thank God and thank them. Here's a text that may blow you away. We don't have time to look at it necessarily, but Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, at least jot it down. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust to overlook your work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints. Now think that one through. He's not unjust. You know what that means? If he didn't respond, right, then it would be unjust. If it is unjust for God to overlook the service that people give in loving the church and loving God and loving the church, loving God by loving the church, it's certainly unjust for us. See, we think it's some kind of cherry on the top, some whipped cream on the top. It's extracurricular. It's superfluous. It's not. What did Jesus say when he healed 10 lepers and only one came back? Do you remember what he said? Thanks. I'm so glad you did the extra credit assignment. Is that what he said? Where are the other 9? Why? Because something that is done to you as a blessing, it ought to be responded to with thanksgiving. And if it's not, it's unjust. See, you being ministered to by people in the church, you got to be thankful and you ought to express it. You got to endorse them. That'll encourage them. You got to be accepting toward them in your disposition, in your heart. You got to be generous to them. You ought to be thanking God for them and thanking them. Letter E. Look at verse 16. 5 of the New Testament books end this way. greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that could get interesting right there, right? A holy kiss means there's no, this is not a sexual thing, not a romantic thing. It's just, you know, and obviously, you know, the culture, even now over there, is a lot different than it is over here. And so, you know, this was just a common expression, but it was a physical expression of endearment, right? It showed affection. And so he says, you ought to do that. You ought to show that affection. Let's put it this way. You can encourage them by your affection. By your affection. And here in the context, we're talking about some physical expression of affection, right? And nothing wrong with that, as long as it's holy, right? Nothing wrong with that. But before you go kissing me, don't let your kisses belie your other physical expressions of affection. Follow me on this now, right? Do not, see, rush to that and make that some kind of formal expression of yes, whether it's a hug or a handshake or whatever, you know, kissing on the cheek or whatever it is. Listen, there's a lot of things that should be subservient to that. There's a lot of things that should be leading up to that. And I can brag on you this because you're good at it, right? I brag on you all the time when it comes to this, especially when guest speakers come. Here's a way you can physically show your affection, your fondness, your liking for your pastor when he preaches. It's by your body language when I preach to you. And since I have to look at that the whole hour, right, I'd be good for you to respond well. And here's the thing you do. Matter of fact, I hardly have a guest speaker who doesn't say to me afterwards, that church, man, they were good to preach to. They were good. I said, turn somewhere. They turned. They were listening. They were looking at me. They didn't. I had very few fall asleep. You know, I hear that kind of thing. And that is so good to hear. And I kind of stick my chest. I'll say, yeah, it's good. That's the way they are. They're a great church that way. Right? Think about our worship team. I mean, this is a volunteer worship team. They're serving. They practice. They're here early. They leave late. This team serves you. They use their gifts to serve you. And here's the thing. I'm sure you would want to say on your list, man, they certainly qualify as people I need to encourage. You need to encourage them. And one of the ways you need to encourage them is with some kind of physical expression of your affection. How about this? Wouldn't this be good to be here at the beginning of their first worship song? Right? I mean, if you're going to somehow express your affection, it'd be good for you to be on time for the worship. That would be good. Affection. Don't need a lot of training, I would hope, in that. But the lesser than is important to define. And lastly, verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Just as I was studying through this text and analyzing it and reading it a million times, I thought, well, that's interesting. Now, I know he has an amanuensis and he, you know, is dictating this to Tertius, but I thought, you know, what's interesting is this whole chapter, sometimes you forget it when you're so engrossed in it, is written. Tertius is writing. He's recording this, putting it down in black and white. And the good things he said about Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and Mary and Andronicus, Junia and all these people, man, it's there. And it's there for, can you imagine reading this and seeing your name in there and seeing those kind things the apostle said? That's great. Letter F. You need to encourage with your written words. That's the pattern of the New Testament. Written words. Now, I want you to write that and then look up at the list that you just made. Be good for you to express, just work backwards here, your affection through your written words. Be great to express your thanksgiving through your written words. Be great to show your generosity in some way through your written words. Acceptance through your written words. Your endorsement through your written words. Use your written words. Now, before you check out, last thing, turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12. I just want to remind you as we wrap this up, so much of this can be used through the avenue of written words. When you write it down, and when you write it down, the power of that is probably much more powerful than you could imagine. It is good, and I want you to give a verbal thank you and sincere appreciation, and I want you to endorse, and I want you to accept and show affection and all that. But to put those things in writing, that has a lasting power. Matter of fact, all ministry, whether you're Elijah or Paul or just a Phoebe in the church serving away, there's going to be some difficulty that's going to come from that. Look at verse 25, Proverbs 12, 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. All ministry has some kind of difficulty that weighs the heart down. Look at this, Proverbs 12, 25. But a good word makes him glad. Words can just change all of that. Just those words can change it. And when they're written, man, there's a power in that. They can be reread. They're codified. They're inscribed. Chapter 16. Give you two more real quick. Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 24. This one's good because it's analogized with food like that. Verse 24, gracious words. Proverbs 16, 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Now, they couldn't improve on that back then. That was their candy, but you can picture something. Snicker bar would be great, right? Gracious words are like candy, but it's not for your palate, not for your stomach. It is sweetness to the soul, and it is health to the body. It's like a rush of sugar in your veins. That's what it's like. What are gracious words? How about you put a few of those in writing? Last one, Proverbs 25. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 25, 11. A word fitly spoken, or if you're Tertius, right? A word that's fitly written, just the right words, are like apples of gold in settings of silver. And you don't throw that in the trash. You hang on to that. See what I'm saying? That's something you treasure. Words go a long way. Think about this. You get that going in this church, it'll fuel us. It'll strengthen us. It'll unify us. It'll be motivating for us. But if you just hear it and say, well, that's good stuff, and you never make a list and you never get to work, then this was all for naught. All that will matter is whether or not we do anything about it. And if we do, I hope it's more than a one-week assignment, but becomes a chronic pattern, a habitual pattern of our Christian life. And if it does, our church will stay strong. It will be fueled, motivated, and encouraged and nourished. Let's pray. God, we do have a growing band and percentage of servants here in our church. We praise you for that. There should be plenty of targets for us to go after and really work at encouraging the encouragers. And God, as they serve and as they work and as they sacrifice and as they even, some of them just provide a great example, an inspiring example showing courage in their Christian life, or any sacrifice, or whatever it might be, they become for us a great opportunity to express the kinds of things that you want to do in their life. You want to refresh them. You want to enrich them. So God, let us be like Elisha. Let us be like Titus. Let us be like Barnabas. And let us get busy about the work of encouragement in our church, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point, concluding a message called Encouraging the Encouragers. If you've missed any portion, you can download free audio files from focalpointradio.org. Today, Pastor Mike reminded us that the Apostle Paul himself took the time to write words of appreciation in his letters, and how great to hear from Focal Point listeners who write in to express their thanks. A listener named Alicia writes, "I recently heard a wonderful message by Pastor Mike on declaring war on sin. It really touched my heart. Thanks so much." John from New Jersey writes, "Your messages are very meaningful to me. I discuss what I learned from you with my wife, and now we're attending a Bible study together. Thank you." And Maria in Australia writes, "3 years ago, I lost my husband and child. I played your sermons every night and morning. They literally saved my life. Thank you." We're so grateful to our Focal Point family. Thanks for letting us know how God is using this program. And you can become a source of thanksgiving when you support Focal Point financially. Give so others can receive encouragement that leads to praising our God today. Call 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. To say thanks, we'll send you the entire study in Romans on a flash drive. No serious Bible student should be without Pastor Mike's expository insights. Request the Roman study when you give online at focalpointradio.org. And even when you can't give financially, we want to encourage you to connect. And when you do that, we'll send you a free CD titled Learning to Encourage One Another. You'll be thankful to discover the many ways God supports you in your life of faith. The Learning to Encourage One Another CD is yours free just for calling 888-320-5885. I'm Dave Drewy. Glad you joined us today. Pastor Mike Fabares returns tomorrow with a word against divisiveness. Listen Thursday to Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.